This is Remote Ruby.
Have you any remote idea to the meaning of the word?
What is up, Andrew?
Yo, dude, long week. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I feel you on that. It's just been super rainy here, so it just feels like it's been dreary and slow, and it's not as bad as what happened to Jason, who is not here today.
Yes, indeed. Poor Jason. So a storm ripped through Memphis, right? That's my understanding.
Yeah, he sent me a picture of a big old tree limb in the driveway or whatever, and then ripped off electrical cords off of his house. So it's not a quick one to repair on a Friday.
Yeah, and it ripped the whole box off his house, I think. And that happened to me a year ago when a hurricane came through. And yeah, it's awful because not only you have to get the box repaired on your house, but you have to have the electrical company come out, turn off the power and fix any broken lines. And then you have to have an electrician come and repair the box and get a new one on the house. And then the power company has to come back out to rewire everything. And it took several days when I had to go through this, and on top of there just being like a hurricane in the area. So hope he gets that fixed up soon.
Yeah, otherwise it'll just be you and me for a little while. But yeah, today we have a big panel. We've got Joe, Dylan, and Chris from Polywork. So I'll let you guys introduce yourselves. Joe, you want to start?
My name is Joe Ferraro. I'm the engineering lead here at Polywork. Been here almost a year now. Kind of led development of our brand new Rails app that we have, as well as now taking on a few more managerial duties. Hand over to Chris.
Thanks. Hey, I'm Chris Polk. I'm the VP of engineering here at Polywork. I've been at Polywork about a year and a half or so. And yeah, basically head up engineering, hiring, yeah, some of our architecture approaches. Yeah, pass over to Dylan.
Hi, I'm Dylan Ginsberg. I'm the lead iOS engineer at Polywork. I've been here less than 2 months now, so they have a pretty solid, mature Rails site, and I'm working on spinning up an iOS app based on that.
Cool. Well, welcome. We're glad to have you all here. And we're going to talk about Polywork a lot more and some of the stuff y'all are doing under the hood to make that happen in the iOS side. But one thing I wanted to get into real quickly here is when we were talking with y'all about topics, Joe listed under things that he would be willing to discuss is what makes a good Rails engineer. And I thought that would be a great thing to kind of lead off with. Y'all are hiring as well, I believe, too. So what are the things that make a good Rails developer?
I think it kind of comes down to looking at things simply, super back to basics, like just having good object-oriented and solid principles, as well as embracing the Rails community as well. You can say what you want about the Rails community, but I feel like it's a really solid, tight-knit community. And the majority of the trajectories are pretty much set in stone almost, or there isn't much veering off. So finding people that embrace that seems to be a little bit more rare these days at times because of the Reacts and everything else. But I think with what we're doing at Polywork, as far as utilizing Stimulus Turbo and the newest version of Rails and kind of embracing all those Rails best practices and even OO best practices, I think that's the reason why we've kind of been able to build the experience that we've been able to build, as well as have a pretty performant site as well.
So back to basics and being simplistic, being involved in the community. Are there anything that y'all are specifically looking for when you're thinking about like this type of person would be the best type of person to join our team because they have these types of qualities other than the two that you just mentioned? Is there anything else? I know Chris gets the same thing too. A lot of people message us and they're like, hey, how do I become a better Rails developer? I don't know. What are you doing? You know, I mean, there's a lot of context in that question, but at the end of the day, there are a lot of people out there. I mean, just saw a Twitter thread about this the other day. Like they want to know how to level up, how to be a better Rails developer. And people are like, oh, work on open source. Oh, do this. But they're like, okay, but there's what else?
Yeah, I think it goes back to embracing the community piece and kind of embracing that Rails is omakase, as well as like, there's normally like a best practice way of doing things. Then there's probably because of the way the Ruby language is written, there's also probably 10 other different ways of doing it. And kind of having that almost knowledge or just that intuition around like even the basics of Googling things, like if something's 10 years old versus something's 2 years old. Rails has grown so much even since I started professionally developing 5 years ago. My first job was Rails 3. And I just remember being like, oh my God, we're not in Rails 4. So like just kind of knowing those little things. And I think even like being on some like Polywork or building these communities up, And like Twitter, I know I follow a lot of people on Twitter in the Rails community, people like Nate Berkopek. I hope I'm not butchering his last name, but just kind of learning those little nuances and even following like Micro Sidekick, just learning those nuances of Ruby and Rails. I think that's what made me successful. Again, embracing the community and kind of just working with like-minded people as well. We recently had someone come on who was also working on Turbo on Bleeding Edge, and just kind of learning in that knowledge share, I feel like even leveled us up and allowed us to actually be able to upgrade Turbo from our beta version into the stable version, which just happened to, as we were doing our upgrade, just happened to come out, which was great. But I think just having that knowledge and just, I think it's also just the personality thing in general of like knowing that like you have this community behind your back, behind you.
Yeah, that's a great answer. So before we kind of dive into what Polywork is under the stack, what is Polywork, the company, the project?
Yeah, so Polywork is a professional network. Basically, we were in Stealth for a bit and we kind of were going through different ideas. And I think one that we came across that seemed really solid was just that like, you're more than your job title. And so because of that, we wanted to basically create an experience with these public profiles that allowed you to actually like describe that and show that and talk about like what it is that you're actually creating and putting out into the world. And then basically trying to create communities around that of these people who, yeah, kind of feel like they're not able to represent themselves on this level. And then also just being able to share the awesome and cool stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, because it's not always just stuff you put on your resume that's interesting that you're doing. It's like all of these other things. All the people creating tutorials or, you know, whatever else that are useful, right? Like I noticed that on Polywork, it's just kind of this infinite list of like, are you creating things? And you can go and share all of that stuff, which I think is cool.
Yeah. Brian Lovin has a really great Polywork page that I enjoyed seeing as like an inspiration of what you could do with the project. So we'll try to link that in the description.
Yeah, definitely. It's been really cool seeing just the amount of people who are actually creating things all around the world. And I think exactly, I think Brian's a great example of, we feel like that if we can get these profiles together that are like inspirational for all the cool stuff that they've done, we feel like that it provides a great example for other people to be able to build out and really be able to properly represent themselves.
So before we started talking, one of you mentioned that you were rewriting the application on Turbo. Is that right?
We rebuilt the application at the beginning of last year on Rails 6.1 Turbo. Stimulus, and we're using Bootstrap, but obviously a custom implementation of it, mostly utilizing their grid system. Kind of goes back to my point around simplicity, and I guess to get back into the hiring thing as well. If there's a tool for it, looking to that versus building your own.
So why a full rewrite? I've been in a lot of conversations of like, should we rewrite this? You know, I feel like many of us have, and it's always like this very emotional discussion and people have a lot invested in it. And obviously the company has a lot invested in it too. So has the rewrite paid off for y'all and given you everything that you hope for? Or do you wish maybe you had spent the time to upgrade what you had?
I think it definitely has paid off for us, especially with the bleeding edge that is about using Turbo, which is bleeding edge. I think it's always risky to use something in beta, as I was saying about like our upgrade process and everything of upgrading that. But I think it has played out really well. I think just using Turbo, I've seen how all our developers have kind of leveled up as Rails developers. To your point of like, what makes a good Rails developer? I think we kind of just took a step back to go a lot faster forward at that point. So just in using these simpler technologies and not having to go with a code base that potentially could lead to just more going down rabbit holes and kind of rewriting things, like a full rewrite seemed just like the correct way. And pretty quickly, we were able to kind of prove that to our stakeholders that was definitely a right choice.
Yeah, and I think too, just some of the aspects of the product that when we were building out the MVP, that is really about real-time web, like we were able to throw together a messenger super quickly. Like it was, I think, Joe, I want to say it was probably took us like, what was like maybe 3 days or something like that to like fully build out what we wanted.
Yeah, thanks to Chris and GoRails for that, because that was
exactly
what we did.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember like, what was it like publicly announced like Christmas Eve or something? And I was like, oh, there goes Christmas. I'm going to start playing with this right away. And, you know, building chat and building like any of this other stuff with it just feels like so easy. And you don't end up writing a ton of JavaScript, or like it becomes a secondary like tool. Whereas like Rails itself now feels like it is a bigger hammer that can do all kinds of like real-time stuff that you can work JavaScript in as you need it, but it is not the immediate thing you have to start with React or something.
Yeah, I feel like just with the addition of Stimulus as well, I'm working on a feature right now where it's pretty simple, but it's essentially we have a toggle switch and then checkboxes that we want to disable and kind of doing everything through a controller. And the only JavaScript I have really is because there's no submit form is just actually using request.js. Once again, embracing the Rails community. Having that and seeing like how simple it is and the amount of actual code I'm writing is so much nicer than kind of like having a bunch of chunked up JavaScript that can potentially, I'm admittedly much more backend focused. So like for someone like me, that's the kind of thing where I can heavily test that as well as make reusable components as well, utilizing Stimulus as far as like, it's a simple patch request essentially.
Yeah, I'm not a full stack developer and I'm not a front end expert. And Stimulus is the first JavaScript that has ever made sense to me as a way to use a JavaScript. Normally, when I look at it, it's such a wild west and it does everything with no rules. That Stimulus to me is the first really front end development that has made sense.
I agree with that. And I felt the same way when I first started using Stimulus. Like, it's like, oh my God, all of a sudden it makes sense. I can figure out how to do what I need to do and I don't have all these ambiguous questions. And I went to Noel Rappin's talk at RailsConf, and afterwards I ran out of the room and I had opened my laptop and I started writing this feature that I've been working on in React and rewrote in Stimulus in like 30 minutes. And it's exciting to be able to like for it to make sense. And maybe that's because, you know, Ruby developers kind of wrote it. And so it makes more sense to us, or maybe it's just simple period. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. To be honest, yeah, on just kind of like the hiring pitch that you talk about for Polywork, it's if you're an older school Rails developer that likes to write minimal amounts of JavaScript, then the stack and this team is, yeah, could feel like a good fit.
So what all are y'all using Turbo for? So I've been using Polywork a little bit, but what all under the hood are y'all leveraging it for? And like, what kind of wins is it giving you?
Almost everything is a Turbo stream response at this point. During our rewrite of Turbo, we kind of, I forget the actual breaking changes, but essentially we're like kind of went to like a singular modal approach for everything versus obviously like when you're learning, I feel like when you're learning a new technology, it's like you look back and oh no, I can't believe I did that. And we kind of like in our Turbo upgrade patched up a bunch of those issues. So nearly every single response is a Turbo stream response. And if you look at our site, there are really no full page reloads either. I think with Turbo, like you can definitely get into the nuances of utilizing, which something we don't utilize that much is like the Turbo streams aspect of it. Really just in our messenger service and a few other places, we use the Turbo streams, but you can get hyper granular with that stuff. But most of the time we'll just do a full Turbo render just because I also feel like getting hyper granular with that stuff can just lead to like really small bugs that are kind of, that could be potentially a little difficult to track down or just obviously like we tend to opt for more controller based Turbo streams versus using the turbostream.erb files makes them feel a little bit more coupled. And when tracking down these things, it's easier. So that's essentially, I guess, to answer your question, TLDR, like everywhere is Turbo.
Because you were using Turbo like really early on. Have you had basically to dig into all the source code to basically find those ways of doing things that you're like, we're trying to do this and I'm pretty sure you can, but there may not be documentation on it yet that's like easily findable or an example or whatever.
It's funny you say that because we had this bug where like, the back button essentially just wasn't working. Like you'd always just go back to the top of the page. And you kind of get to the point of like, well, the stable version's coming out soon. Do we patch this our own or do we just wait? And thankfully we just waited. I guess that's the one thing that happened that we were like, okay, we're just going to wait and not dig in and patch something in beta.
Everything. Everything gets a monkey patch. I'm like Oprah. I monkey patched three things this week. Have y'all upstreamed anything that y'all have found into Turbo by... Just curious.
Not really yet. It's definitely something we want to do. Obviously, kind of when you're working pretty fast like we are right now, sometimes you just don't have the time, but I would love at some point in the near future to just talk about this entire journey and write it down because I think it is like a really interesting case study in general for Rails as well. Like I said, we're super simple as far as our stack and everything else and try to keep everything simple. It's definitely even the culture and even in code reviews you see. Is there a simpler way to do this? Is there a third party we can use instead of building our own?
So we might be able to expect a good RailsConf talk out of y'all. That's what I'm hearing.
We'll see about that. Public speaking isn't my forte, but maybe.
There are Turbo native aspects I would like to upstream. I would say the Turbo native tools aren't as mature and robust as what's there for Rails. And then Basecamp hasn't released all of them either. And the demo projects that exist for Turbo iOS could use some love at this point. They were based on extractions from a couple of years ago.
That's something I played a decent amount with, but nothing near as much as you have on the Turbo Native stuff. But like, we realized pretty quickly that like for the Turbo Native version, we're going to want to have an invisible nav bar, and we want the native like nav bar. But clicking the menu button there, we want to have the Turbo Bridge open the navigation modal or whatever, the overlay for like our jumpstart template. That I feel like is the navigation in general is, to me, it seems like the most complicated piece of building Turbo Native apps, where you've got, you know, just this pretty simple horizontal nav bar on the web. But when it comes to mobile, it's got tab bar at the bottom, maybe navigation at the top. What are your thoughts on all the, on how to handle or think about the navigation stuff on the mobile stuff, Dylan?
You've definitely hit on what's the challenge. Like Turbo iOS doesn't attempt to address that. It takes you to the point where you can render pages and you can have standard iOS navigation stacks where you push from right to left for each new page, but it doesn't really make an attempt to go beyond that. And there is a lot more that you need to figure out if you're going to make anything but the most trivial Turbo-based product. Yeah, there's a lot of work there. There's a lot of work. There's design work in translating what makes a good web experience to a good app experience. And then there's also the technical side of it. It's okay, you have to navigate from page to page and you have to make decisions about when do you want to push a page on a navigation stack? When do you want to show a modal? Let's take the like the simplest example. You're looking at an index and you want to do a new. And so you would show a modal to do some sort of new for what's in your index. And then you would post it. And on the web, you always are moving forward in navigation. You know, you post, you redirect to something new. And on the web, your forward and back is like a history of what you've done in time. But iOS doesn't. iOS, your forward and back in iOS is more of an information hierarchy instead of being a time-based series of what you do. So in iOS, you have an index page, you put up a modal. When you're done, you dismiss the modal. You're not going forward to somewhere new. You're actually dismissing what you're working on and going backwards to where you were before. And that is the tools that exist, the demo projects that exist, they kind of stop at that point and help you there. And that's where there's a lot to figure out.
So do you have advice on how to approach that? Because I guess like you were saying, like number one, you have to design it first. But then once you've designed how you want it to work, yeah, that implementation is different. Because if you pop up a modal for new, you want to close the modal and I guess refresh the page. Is that something that you would take care of in the iOS side, where the iOS side would do the modal and then refresh the page? Or is that something you would do from like the Rails backend, where it would say like, is this a Turbo Native request? And we look at the user agent and then do a different kind of response there for those.
Yeah, that is exactly the question. If you look at where Turbo Native sort of starts you out, it starts you out with a path configuration file. And basically the idea is you take URL patterns and you then map them to what you do in iOS. And what happens over time is once your site gets complicated, you end up with this alternative navigation structure that you're kind of recreating in a completely different format. Like your site itself has inherently embedded in it all of your navigation paths and your logic of where you go. But if you don't have any connection between the site and what happens in iOS, and you just sort of start with where Turbo iOS leaves you, you end up building, okay, well, if we're going to this regex pattern, then we do this. And if we're going to this regex pattern for a URL, we do this. And that falls apart really quickly. That gets really hard. You end up with this entirely separate way of specifying how your website flows and connects. So something we're working on now here at Polywork is we're designing a way to we can specify the iOS navigation flow from our Rails views. So that the Rails views, they understand what your logic is. They understand that I came from here. I have this state about my user. And because of that, and because of this action taken, I'm going to go here. So rather than just have them drive the web behavior for that, you know, can we also have those views encapsulate what the native iOS behavior is going to be? So that while, you know, on the web, when you submit a form, you go forward. On iOS, you actually want to issue, you know, some sort of way of specifying that you want to dismiss the modal and you want to, like you say, refresh the page underneath.
And so we're in the process now of designing that at Polywork, figuring that out. That's going to be a big challenge, but also something that's going to make it much better for us building websites, much better that we don't build things on the web and then throw it over the wall and say, well, take this website and figure out how to sort of make it nice and mobile. We want to try to make those decisions up front and empower the people writing our Rails views to also have control over what happens on native apps.
I really like that. If you don't do that, the mobile apps always feel like an afterthought. And I think a lot of mobile apps feel that way, where they're just like somebody tried to cram in the same experience from the website into the phone and it just doesn't work. Because something as simple as like, say you have a scaffold, you have a bunch of posts or something, and you click into the posts. If you have a backlink that should go back to the main page, like your browser's going to just continue just like you would expect. But like on iOS, clicking that link is actually going to like add another layer into the history there as if you were drilling down. And then you end up with this crazy stack of wit from the homepage to the post, back to the homepage. And now we have this weird stack to undo. And yeah, it makes much more sense if you could annotate that link or something to say, hey, on mobile, just go back. The iOS navigation should just pop this off the stack instead of adding another thing to it. So yep, that sounds yep, super exactly. nice.
If you're listening to this podcast, then who's making sure that your application is running correctly? Is the app up? Are bugs plaguing your users? Do your cron jobs execute correctly? I don't have to worry about this because I have a secret weapon, Honey Badger. Honey Badger works with my unique workflow, is easy to set up on all my projects, and gives me peace of mind throughout the day. The best part is that Honey Badger has all the tools I need in an easy to understand UI with excellent documentation. I want to build features, not waste time trying to configure my tools, and Honey Badger provides that for me out of the box. Sign up for Honey Badger today and let them know we sent you. Thanks to Honey Badger for their continued support of the show.
First 5 minutes, you get it running and you're like, this is the coolest thing in the world that you just embed the Rails app and voila, we have a mobile app. And then you start playing with it and you're like, this is not a good experience. Yeah. That was a little disappointing when you get in a few minutes and you're like, huh, okay. And yeah, so I'm excited to see how you approach that and how it turns out, because there's been kind of the complaint with TurboLinks was always like, it feels like it was half finished when it got released because it didn't handle forms and the JavaScript, there was no stimulus. So there was not a great solution or documentation on how do we take Google Analytics and make it work with this or any JavaScript library. I feel like that's kind of where Turbo Native landed, unfortunately, where it's,
I would say the
bones of it.
There were some useful pieces that did not get sort of extracted from the Basecamp apps that use Turbo. And they were, some of them, because they're very specific to the domain, to very specific to what you're building. This sort of navigation that we're talking about is highly dependent on how you build your site. And there's not a really obvious way to do this, but it would be the next level for how to build Turbo apps, is to really drive it from your website, from the site, from the place that already has the understanding of how everything works.
So for Polywork, how much are you able to get away from writing Swift and sticking to the web views? And I guess part of this approach of trying to figure out how do we control it more from the HTML and the web's server side, you know, are you able to get away with writing very little Swift, or is that still like a kind of core piece?
That's a work in progress. So the iOS app is much newer than the Rails app. So right now where we are is we are working on getting the website translated to a good mobile app, but without much strictly native work. So part of that is the navigation that we've talked about, is figuring out what are the sort of UX patterns we have in the app. The other part is on an individual web page, what do you do? Like, web pages are great at laying out content. They're great at filling in forms. But there's a few areas where, like when you're trying to make a good native experience, they don't hold up so well. If you want to do context menus, for example, like iOS has native ways of doing context menus. And when you build HTML context menus and you put them inside of an app, they don't feel so great. That is where you can sort of progressively enhance, much like sort of the Rails concept of you produce HTML over the wire and you progressively enhance it with JavaScript where you need it. Same sort of principle for building, for taking these web pages and doing them natively. Like, A lot of the time, what you build for the mobile web is also a great design for a native app. Then you pick the high value points where, well, having a native interaction here is going to make it better. Having this menu be a real popover in iOS and using native iOS menus is going to be better. Things like that. So that's where you start adding more Swift. At the moment, though, Polywork is almost entirely web-based, with the native Swift being the navigation between pages.
Along those lines, too, is like your authentication is an interesting one of like you kind of need to authenticate twice in a way. If you want a native authentication email and password form or something, we set it up so that we make an API request with your credentials and then give you back cookies and an API token so that we can add the cookies to the web session and log you into that. But we also just have a regular API token that the native code could make API calls with. And then logging out kind of undoes both of those. You have to do something similar like that. And then I guess the other related question is, if you do OAuth, do those go native in native Swift OAuth, or is that web-based?
Yes, for OAuth, I would probably do it. Yeah, I would do it natively with Swift. But what you talk about with the login is exactly what you end up having these two parallel things you need to maintain. You both have to manage your cookies and make sure that, you know, an iOS app has a cookie store that works across all of the web views inside of the app. So you both have to track that, and you have to do that. And you also have to track it along with probably some sort of authorization token. And you keep those in sync. When someone signs out, you get rid of both of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the other thing that came to mind too is, and I know you're not using it yet a whole lot, but the like broadcasting and like the real-time turbo streams. On mobile, we haven't actually set up anything for that, but I just realized that it might be interesting, or maybe some missing piece of the puzzle is that having a Swift connection to Action Cable and Rails would be able to push stuff over. And I imagine at the end of the day, like, it's a WebSocket. So it's not like, if you know the WebSocket stuff in Swift, it's probably right. Pretty easy to go add that yourself or whatever.
Yeah, and the Action Cable protocol is like not difficult. It's a reasonable thing to build.
So I guess I can't even really imagine how that communication works. I guess maybe similar in concept to like the Turbo Bridge, where you have the JavaScript talking back and forth between the Swift code, I guess, with the WebSockets, you would be sending messages back and forth and then just having Swift process the JSON message it receives or whatever.
Yeah.
Got it. Do you guys feel like if you were not using Turbo for building this, what would you end up having to do? Like, would you do a hybrid app, like a React Native type of thing if you didn't have Turbo for the web and for mobile?
Personally, from my experience, it's always been basically writing native Swift apps. Yeah, for anything around iOS. I mean, to be honest, whenever you first threw it together, which was not that great, but it was literally 30 minutes in Xcode and basically throwing in the Turbo iOS adapter to see what we could get out of it. But yeah, I don't know. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I always tend to just kind of go with the native code because in the end, the odds are, like, you hear all these kind of horror stories of like, we have to rebuild it in native because now we have, I hate to call people this, but the resources to do it. So yeah, as far as the web, we'd be writing a lot of, I mean, a few years ago, we were writing a bunch of jQuery and CoffeeScript probably, and that's really not scalable as well. So honestly, it like just kind of seems like the right timing for all this stuff with like Turbo and everything else coming out to build this experience, because it seems like everything's really aligning, and kind of shout out to the Rails community for just kind of pushing all this. And hopefully with Rails 7, with import maps and everything else, that gets me really excited as well as far as the way the community is going.
So are y'all in a great place where, because you guys have done all this groundwork and you've kept up to edge, that you'll be ready to upgrade when Rails 7 comes out, or short update process, or what's you guys thinking about on that?
One thing that we push here is like really good test coverage. I think without our test coverage, a lot of like, obviously when you have a newer app, you're kind of like, you potentially are doing more overarching things. With our test coverage and everything else, I think we're pretty much ready. My rules usually always like this first or second patch to actually upgrade. It gets me a little nervous because there's been a few, like, I forget, there was something with like a Ruby patch or some Ruby patch or something as well, where it was like an issue with like garbage collection or something, which is blowing up the app or something. So I normally wait a few patch notes before actually upgrading. But yeah, I think we could definitely pretty quickly upgrade to like a Rails 7 pretty shortly.
Yeah, my experience was Devi still had a PR that needed to get merged. And then I was using Adder Encrypted, which conflicts with the Rails 7 encryption stuff. But that was it. Everything else just worked. And the Rails 7 changes are, they're not like core Rails changes as much as they're, the JavaScript approach is like changing in CSS as well. And it feels like it's going to be a more minor upgrade, hopefully, because of that. But there's always those gems that are like locked specifically to not the next version and whatever.
One job I had, we used like a money gem or something where the only thing I had to do was like upgrade like big decimal to not be, I forget what it is now. It was either, it used to be .new and now it's not, or vice versa. I just literally just monkey patched the gem and put it in our repo and then just did that. I've done 4 to 5 upgrades at previous positions, and that upgrade was never that bad. I always heard nightmares about 3 to 4, which thankfully I never had to do. And I hear 5 to 6. I'll see like tweets from people being like, oh, it took me like an hour to do this. So I definitely think the community's on the right track as far as that. And like you said, I think it's just going to be probably the gems, which we're already kind of identifying preemptively. And even just for security updates and everything for Rails, like you said, around not for this patch or whatever, we're kind of already identifying that stuff and trying to stay a step ahead of that as well.
So are y'all happy that y'all stuck with Rails? I'm sure at some point when you were debating the rewrite was like, I'm sure the option of potentially pivoting was brought forth. So as someone who built like a really cool, successful, I think the using the app is awesome. I think it's really fun to use. So as someone who like just went through this process, do you still recommend Rails? Are you still happy that you did it with Rails?
Absolutely.
There's the right answer here.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be an edit if you said something else.
Yeah, my thing is I'm a Rails developer, so like I'm always going to go for Rails first. So it really wasn't even a question of whether or not we're going to use something. I can say a lot about going to microservices too prematurely and kind of going like quote unquote fast, fast, fast. I can tell you about some of our metrics and like our site is pretty fast according to Scout and everything else and super quick response times, like under 200 MS. So you can do it. I think it just kind of goes to that original conversation we had around like what makes a good Rails developer. And also just putting the time, our team, putting the time, we have 20% of every one of our iterations or sprints, whatever you want to call them, in order to kind of like look at this technical debt, because you can't just build and not reflect back and actually make improvements upon things. No one's perfect. You're going to miss things in PR reviews. So I think just being pragmatic Rails developers has really given us the gains that we need. And I feel like it is much more difficult to hire Rails developers, I feel. But I think with the right team, which I feel like this is the best team I've ever been on. So I feel like with the right team, you can kind of push forward and just make really good progress.
Yeah, I think our ability to iterate has been really awesome. And what we've been able to do is like a pretty small team building these things out. I mean, our engineering team is still less than 10. So it's like being able to make this amount of progress has been really cool. And being able to do that at scale as well. I mean, I think doing it with the new technology is one of those things that's like, I mean, it's exciting, but it can also be terrifying. But I think that we've definitely seen more of just the gains, well, the excitement and yeah, just the gains in productivity, ability to actually focus on the product and be able to take a step back because what we're writing is really that simple, I think, whenever it comes down to it. So we don't have to get caught in like the too much of the abstract.
So I'm not a Rails developer. I'm a native app developer, but I love this tech stack. I feel that it supercharges me as a native developer. I like working with small teams. I like having a big impact. And I feel that I'm able to focus on the things that matter. I'm not spending all of my time like synchronizing and making sure everything stays in lockstep with really two other teams, with a web team and with an Android team, typically. I am able to leverage the work that other people do and able to focus on what to me is like the most interesting work, which is, okay, we have this page and like, it's good. You know, it works pretty well in mobile, but what are the really mobile specific things we can do that can make it better? What, you know, animations, whatever it is we want to do that can make it better. And like that to me is like the most fun part. So I really enjoy that. I am not basically reproducing the work that other teams are doing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That does seem like the big selling point of Hotwire and the Turbo approach on native is you're not duplicating work, which is awesome. And it comes back down to like, that was the philosophy that I loved of Rails when I first started was like, look what you can do with a team of 1 or 2 or 3 people. Like it's incredible. And there was a time where I feel like everybody was leaving because they were like, oh, look what I can do in JavaScript with React and whatever. But I mean, if you've seen the response on since Hotwire came out, there's all these people like porting Turbo over to Laravel even. And it's cool to see it being adopted in Django and other languages or frameworks. They're like, oh, what if we also embrace that same, like, be really productive with a small team goal? And I think that you guys have been saying that this entire time. We want it simple and we want to be able to get things done. And like, that's the goal at the end of the day. It feels like, I don't know, maybe a renaissance of sorts that Hotwire is really kind of finally wrapping up a lot of these things that were kind of outstanding for a few years.
As we're kind of wrapping up here, there was one more thing I wanted to ask Chris about. Chris, talk to me about celebrity emoji keyboards.
I don't know how much this is going to have to do with Rails. Yeah, basically a friend and I created one of the first celebrity emoji keyboards. It was like for Kanye West. It was called Emoji. We did this as a side project. I don't know, this maybe in 2016 or something like that. It all started because I was doing consulting work and basically my friend texted me and asked me how I was doing. And I wish I could send you a pissed off Kanye face because his client is like being really annoying. And basically put it together, released it, spent like no money on marketing, got it out into the world, just basically got on Twitter, started tweeting at people. I actually didn't see anything for a bit. And then a fake account for Kanye West retweeted us. And then my phone started to melt with just all the retweets and all this, these things happening. We got on like Snapchat's Mashable app of the day, got all this like other random press coverage. And then I remember I was in line at like the pharmacy or something. And then I got like an email that's from like Kanye's lawyers. And also during this time, I guess, I think we went to like number 12 in the app store or something like that. It was really crazy. But then, yeah, got an email from Kanye's lawyers and a very weirdly formed email that also started out with in the most Kanye-like response that was like, we'd like to inform you that you're infringing on Kanye West's likeness. In case you don't know who Kanye West is, he's a designer, producer, basically listed all his colleges. Like, also, he was timed, you know, top 100, whatever. I'm like, of course I know who Kanye West is. I made the keyboard for him. There's no way that I didn't know this. But yeah, basically, we got a meeting with his team and we were like, oh, I don't know, it's a very surreal point in life where I was like, maybe my full-time job is going to be making emojis for Kanye West. But we tried to pitch him on the concept or his business manager on it. In the middle of the pitch, he just cut me off. He's, can you please get to the business proposition? And I was like, I'm just trying to tell you about the product, how emoji keyboards could work and all this. Basically, we didn't hear anything from them. This is, I want to say in 2016, this is probably October. And then around, I want to say it was literally Christmas, I remember like they released Kimoji for like Kim Kardashian and put that out in the world. And I was like, huh, this is interesting. We ended up getting the trademark in January for it. And then they sent us a cease and desist and then got us taken off the app store. Basically like no correspondence at all. Usually I feel like Apple's pretty good at like making the like that communication happen. But basically there was like no response from Apple, no response from their lawyers. So it got taken down. But the cool piece of it is that's why I got pulled into Google to work on Gboard, which ended up being like a really cool situation for a lot, being able to launch that and seeing all the awesome reception for it. But yeah, I have to say my relationship with Kanye has been quite conflicted since that day and since that time. So
that's awesome. I saw that in your message and I was like, people need to know this.
Yeah, it was a really interesting and cool thing. And to be honest, it was just like a fun thing to put out in the world. We never really... My only dream out of it was like, maybe one day I'll get to meet Kanye. I really didn't think about like that, you know, you could make all this money that people have now made off of celebrity emoji keyboards. And yeah, it's just interesting to see how that kind of like trend has taken off. But yeah, it was very interesting time in life to do that, put that out.
Well, that's awesome. You're cool in my book. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about around Polywork or Hotwire, Rails or anything else?
We are hiring.
We're hiring for sure. Yeah.
What levels?
Senior Rails engineer is what we're looking to grow the team. We're still, yeah, less than 10 people there. Yeah, basically looking to grow out the team a little bit.
Well, if you give us a link, we will put it in the show notes and maybe some people y'all's way.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll put a link to your Polywork profiles in the show notes so people can check you out and, you know, connect with you guys. And yeah, guess that's it.
Thanks for coming on, y'all.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Chris, I will talk to you next week. And to everyone listening, we'll be back soon.
Take care.
Later.